Thank you, Vida and Amy. And for some of you that may not know, that may not have been here this long, Amy's my oldest. And we're so pleased that when your children use that gift that God's given them. So thank you for that. And my brothers and I gathered ourselves together in the pastor's study just now before we came in, and we had prayer together to support each of you. And because of that, we all joined together in inviting you to worship this day and greet you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the King of Kings. I'd like to direct your thoughts towards the words that Tony might bring us today. I know of his great desire to bring the true message from the Lord. And I noticed this morning, if this means anything at all, as I got up early this morning and the sun was trying to come over the edge, and the beauty of the clouds and the orange sky. And I looked back to the west, and there was the beginning of a rainbow starting right above Tony's house this morning. And it was a beautiful sight. I look forward to this hour together with you. And I would like to invite you to clear your minds of all the worldly cares, to think about, and as we invite that still small voice to minister to us. And you see, even we talked about this in class this morning for a moment, that even Satan has a still small voice. But God surely has that still small voice that we want to listen to and know the difference between. And I would like to share just a couple of words from the Doctrine and Covenants about this very thing that might help you notice that still small voice as the Lord shares it with us. And this is section 131. A revelation given on April 5th, 1914, Joseph Smith III. And the church, as they were gathering together in their general assembly, had been notified that all should come in fasting and prayer and preparation and meditation for this day. And Joseph says that after meditation and prayer upon the work of God and our present duty in the affairs entrusted to our care, those affairs entrusted to our care. Before the hour of breaking the fast came, I was blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, resting upon me in quiet assurance and in power. And then he says to the church, in the still small voice, which giveth light and understanding to the intelligence of man, exalting the soul and sanctifying the spirit, there came unto me the directing voice of him whose work we are engaged in. Brothers and sisters, that is the same still small voice that speaks to us if we allow it. So I invite you today to worship the Lord together as we meet.
God, the Eternal Father, Lord, we offer our gift of praise unto Thee this morning in song, and it is with joyful hearts that we assemble, for we recognize that indeed Thou art our Father, and You have given unto us the gift of Thine only begotten Son, and there is no greater gift than this, and we thank You so much for it. And Lord, as we assemble this day in preparation for worship, we would ask and invite that Your Spirit would be here to attend us, that it might rest upon my brother Bob as he presides over this service, that he might be aware of the needs of the congregation, as well as Tony as he would bring the spoken word. Lord, would You bless him that his mind might be clear and his tongue loosed, that indeed the words of our Savior might be preached here this day. and be with all those that have responsibility, and Mike and his prayer, and Vida and Amy and their ministry of music, that the intent of their hearts might be to offer up a true offering unto thee this day, that your people might be blessed. Thank you, Father, for being with us, and we pray that you would continue and you'd bless this hour as we desire to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I've been a member of this branch for many years, and I've seen the Lord's hand at work many, many times in helping us to provide for this work in this place and going out from here. And I realize that He abides with us as we try to help Him and offer back to Him what we can of a willing heart. And so, if you would now, we would have a prayer over this offering. Please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving that we offer up our praise unto Thee for the many times You have sustained us. And we pray that as this offering is taken up, that each one that has a desire to give back to Thee may be blessed. We thank You and ask that this money may be strengthened and magnified for Your work. And so we offer this up to You in gratitude in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, it's my desire this day that we worship our Lord and Savior, in spirit and in truth. And also know this is the desire of my brothers that are up here with me today. And you know that is possible if we do what is above the sanctuary door as we walk in. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And if we do that this day, the Lord's Spirit will bless us. And even the presence of His Holy Ghost, that each one of us might be edified and strengthened by that. For a scripture reading today, I've chosen the passage of scripture out of the 3rd Nephi, the 12th chapter, and give you a little background. Jesus had ascended back to heaven the second time from amongst the people. And those disciples which he had chosen went about baptizing in the name of Jesus. And those people which were baptized were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the disciples baptized these individuals into the church. And it was called the Church of Christ. And I'm going to start, and Jesus appeared back to the disciples again because there was some conflict of what the church should be called. So I'm going to start in verse 16. And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we shall call this church, for there is disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that thy people murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have ye not read the scriptures which say, Ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whosoever taketh upon him my name, and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at that last day. For if the church be called of Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of man, then it be the church of man. But if it be called in the name, in my name, then it shall be my church, if it is so be that they are built upon my gospel. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his works in it. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is my gospel, which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because he hath sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up upon, if I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause I have been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world.
Beauty that man should him desire.
Thank you, Vida and Amy, for that beautiful ministry of music. I might have a little bit of a biased opinion on that. Have you received His image in your countenance? Amy singing that reminds me of a time in my life that I found myself going in the wrong direction. And this was in my college years. And I went to college at Warrensburg there, University of Central Missouri. And I had visited one weekend some of my high school friends that went to the University of Missouri. And as I was driving back from that weekend with them, I had an experience. The Lord spoke to my heart and my mind, not in an audible voice, but He got His point plainly across to me. And He told me there while I was driving that day I would choose the direction the rest of my life. That was a humbling experience for a young man to make that decision right then and there. You know, I decided I better try to get back on the right path. I started reading the Word, and I started praying for a companion. And one night, as I was praying, kneeling at my bed, I was asking the Lord about this. And He brought the name to my mind of Amy Gilbert. You see, brothers and sisters, this was very strange, because I had met Amy one time, 2 years prior, for about 20 seconds, I was introduced to her, and hadn't been around her or seen her since. But yet, when I was given that name, I knew exactly what I needed to do. You see, I was introduced to her at a Bible study group that we had at the school there, the Restoration Campus Ministries. And I hadn't attended that group only, I think, once or twice my freshman year. And almost halfway through my junior year, and I hadn't been back there. And so I knew I needed to go there for two reasons: to draw nearer unto my Lord, and then maybe to see experiment upon this name that I was given. So I started going to that group, and Eli and Jennifer probably started wondering, who's this new guy? And sure enough, Amy was there. And over the course of time, we began to talk and began to date. And after a few months, I had that feeling that I knew that she was the one. I remember eating a dinner with my parents, asking them some questions. How do you know? And one weekend where I grew up going to church at the Adrian Restoration Branch, Amy and I traveled down there from college, and she had the ministry of music. Now she sang that ministry of music. One of those songs was His Image in Your Countenance. And the Spirit came over me, and I knew, but I was still struggling. I didn't know if this was my emotion or the Spirit. And after that service, my aunt came up to me. And I believe my aunt has the gift of discernment. And she came up to me and said, she's the one. And I don't share this with you, brothers and sisters, to tell you my story of love. I share this with you to tell you the story of the love of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That as I found myself going down the wrong road, He was willing to pick me up and draw me into Him if I would make that commitment. You know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so merciful and so loving that He was willing to hang upon that cross for you and me. Do we understand what kind of love that takes? You know, I think it was February or March this year, I was sitting up here in a sacrament service. And after helping prepare the emblems, and as I watched the priesthood serve you, the people, the Lord gave me an experience. And He showed me just a glimpse of the love that He has for each one of you. And my mind focused upon this one individual. And I knew this one individual didn't necessarily live the right life and make all the right decisions. But the Lord showed me He had just as much love for that man as He did for anyone else. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget that experience, that I had that opportunity to see people how He sees people. This is a wonderful gospel. It's plain. It's simple. And it's a beautiful plan of salvation that we have through the atonement of Jesus Christ, that our sins might be covered. In Hebrews sixth chapter. We find these words. Therefore, not leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Faith, repentance, baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection, and the eternal judgment or eternal life. This is the doctrine of Christ. You know, we're so lucky and privileged to have this inspired version. And we talked about this in class today. Because you see, brothers and sisters, in the King James Version of the Bible, it says, therefore, leaving these principles. And in this inspired version, it says, not leaving these principles. And I looked up in the NIV just to curious to see what it said. And it says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. Brothers and sisters, I find nothing elementary about these principles. And nor should we move beyond them or progress beyond them. What are you progressing to? You know, in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, and this is my gospel, the glad tidings which the voice out of heaven bore record unto us, that he came into the world, even Jesus, to be crucified for the world, and to bear the sins of the world, and to sanctify the world, and to cleanse it from all unrighteousness. And in section 39, and verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that receiveth my gospel receiveth me, and he that receiveth not my gospel receiveth not me. And this is my gospel, repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, even the Comforter, which showeth all things and teacheth the peaceable things of the kingdom. Let's talk for a few moments about our faith. You know, faith is a principle of life. Each one of us, as we drove to church this morning, we have trust or faith as we drive down that road that we will stay on our side of the yellow line and the person we encounter will stay on their side of the yellow line. When we go to the doctor, we have faith that he will prescribe the right medicine. When we send our children to school, we have faith that they will teach them right. Faith is a principle of life. You know, faith is reliance. It's trust. It's confidence. It's hope. It's assurance in something. And brothers and sisters, what is your faith in? What is your faith in? Is your faith in making money, securing your economic future? Is your faith in sports? What is your faith in? Our faith should be in only one, and that is our Heavenly Father. You see, faith is a saving principle. Faith lifts us out of sin. Faith is the key to salvation. What do keys do? They unlock doors so we can enter in. That's what faith is, brothers and sisters. It's the key to our salvation. And all we have to do is exercise a particle of it and open that door. And we know it's impossible to please God without faith. You know, there's such a the best example of faith in the Word is in the Book of Mormon. In Alma, the 16th chapter, the son of Alma shares this. And there's a lot there I would really like to read. You really don't know where to start and end. I'll read a few verses. But behold, if you will awake and arouse your faculties, even to the experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. Now I will compare the word unto a seed. Now if ye give place that the seed may be planted in your heart, behold, it is a, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out, and by your unbelief that it, ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breast. And when you feel the swelling motions, ye will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? I think most of us in here have had that experience where we've planted that seed in our hearts. And as we nourish that seed, it began to swell within us. And we realized it was a good seed. I remember that time in my life. I'm sure each one of you do also. It's quite the experience. And you haven't, if you haven't planted this seed in your heart, I would challenge you to do this. Experiment with it. You know, the seed grows in our lives as we nourish it. And if we nourish it, it will take root and it will be a great tree or a plant someday. But if we don't, those storms of life will come. And if we have no root, no founding, we will find ourselves spiritually dead. You know, when our faith wavers, many times we find ourselves in sin. And thus it's so important for this second principle of the gospel of repentance. Are you the same person that you were yesterday? Be careful how you answer that. Because if you are, you need to repent. You see, change in our lives cannot happen without repentance. I and each of us have room for that change in our lives. You know, the natural man is an enemy to God, isn't it? And so often times in our lives we fight against God. Repentance, brothers and sisters, is laying down our arms and submitting to our Heavenly Father. And doing His will. You know, repentance grows out of our faith. As we exercise our faith and we come to a better knowledge and understanding of this Jesus Christ, we realize our sins. And as we repent of those sins, we realize other sins in our lives. And we find ourselves repenting of that. And there's four steps in repentance, brothers and sisters. And the first step is a godly sorrow. A godly sorrow. It's not a sorrow that you got caught, but it's a godly sorrow. That you realize that your sins are affecting others. And that it's also affecting your Heavenly Father. The second step is admission or confession. This entitles us, or this requires of us, to divorce ourselves from those things that separate us from God. And sometimes that's really hard to do, but it is required in repentance. We have to cease to do evil. And the fourth step is learning to do well. We have to fill a waste places in our lives with those things of good. And as we fill those waste places in our lives with those things that are good, it will protect us from further sins. You know, repentance involves confessing. It involves forgiveness. And forgiveness requires making restitution with those we have hurt. You know, repentance is a change of one's whole attitude and purpose of life. And I've shared this with you before, but there's a difference between repenting and repentance. Oftentimes we repent of our individual sins, and we must do that. But in our repentance, as we repent, many times we forget to repent or to eradicate the very essence of sin in our lives, which is selfishness, which is behind all of our sins. And that's what repentance is, brothers and sisters, eradicating the essence of sin in our lives. You know, in Mosiah, the 11th chapter, and I'm not going to read it for our time, but verses 136 through 141, Alma, the older Alma, speaks of this repentance, and that forgiveness is a prerequisite of repentance. Forgiveness is so important, brothers and sisters. I remember sitting up here at a prayer service before a sacrament service a few years ago. And as I sat in that service, I knew that I had to go talk to an individual right after that service before the sacrament service. And I knew I had to tell that individual they needed to forgive. And forgive was forgetting. See, forgiving others is so important in our lives, and especially before the sacrament. You know, I had a situation in my life a few years back where a gentleman had misrepresented some information to me in a contract. And this could have had quite the effect on my family situation. And as this process sorted itself out, I found myself, my heart became angry with this individual. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we can't forgive another, it affects all aspects of our lives. It affected my career. It affected my relationship with my companion, with my children, with you guys. It affected my relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can't let this happen, brothers and sisters. We have to forgive one another. And I want to tell you a story of forgiveness. I shared with a gentleman here a while back at another branch. And this gentleman's wife had left him some 20 years ago. And this would be hard for anyone to deal with. And as he began to deal with this, he said the Lord told him that he needed to pray for her and her new husband, that they might come back to the church one day. How hard that must have been. And so he did this faithfully for 20-some years. And brothers and sisters, this man that was telling me this now worships with these two individuals. He goes out and eats dinner with these two individuals. You see, forgiveness is bigger than ourselves. The lives and souls of men are at stake. We have to forgive. You know, repentance more than likely will continue a whole lifetime. Because as we repent, we realize other sins in our lives that we must repent of. And some of you might say, it's too costly to repent. I don't want to give that thing up. I enjoy it too much. But brothers and sisters, I testify to you today, it's more costly not to repent. Because your salvation is at stake. Back in 1999, I had a dream, and it's the only spiritual dream I've had. And this was shortly after I shared that experience I had coming back from Columbia, from college earlier in the service. As I was trying to turn my life around, I began to pray that I have my own personal testimony of this Church of Jesus Christ. And one night at 2:25, I was awakened. And I'm not good at remembering dreams, but I remember that one. You see, brothers and sisters, there were all these churches upon the face of the earth. And these whirlwinds and these strong storms came upon the face of the earth. And there was only one church standing. And that was this church. Through that dream, the Lord gave me my personal testimony that I can never deny that this is the Church of Jesus Christ. But also in that testimony, He showed me something else, or in that dream. As these strong storms had came and vaporized everything in sight, there was total blackness and then just the light of the church. And the Spirit was so strong, and people of the church began to jump off the edge of the sidewalk into that darkness. And I will never forget their screams. You know why they did that, brothers and sisters? Because they had guilt. They would not forgive others. Thus, they couldn't be in the presence of that Spirit. It is so important, brothers and sisters, that we exercise our faith. We have forgiveness, and we repent. You know, there where I began reading in my opening scripture, it talks about this church. It talks about this gospel. And there are so many things available to us, saints. Read section 46. Exercising the spiritual gifts. Now, if we worship Him, brothers and sisters, in spirit and in truth, these gifts can be manifest. I want to read, brothers and sisters, a revelation. Not the whole revelation, because we don't have time. This was a message given through Brother Joseph Luff in 1925. And he begins it with, "Unto those who have ears to hear. Your zeal for my cause is pleasing unto me, and your present travail for my church shall bring forth according to my pleasure. For whosoever my law is in honor, and my ordinances are held as a sacred thing, even as they were delivered unto me to you from the beginning, behold, there is my church, and he that imagineth change in them hath not known me, for I change not, and my ordinances are my witnesses. And whosoever laboreth to maintain the integrity of these among my people confesseth me as Lord. But he that varieth therefrom seeketh not to build up my kingdom, but his own." Brothers and sisters, we are to be stewards. Stewards over this gospel. Stewards over this church. That we not let any of these worldly influences enter in. Because if we do, we flirt with the sacredness of the ordinances of the church. Priesthood. You have such a responsibility that as we stand behind this sacred desk, that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. That's what wins souls to men, or to God. And we can't take it lightly. And there are you young men out there. That I know the Lord has a call for you. But he's waiting on you to separate that sin in your life so you can be close to him and walk close to him. How long will you make him wait? He needs workers in this church in this latter day. And to your handmaidens, you must support your husbands in their ministry. And he wants you to teach your children by precept and by example. And he wants you to be those virtuous women he has called you to be. You see, brothers and sisters, this is his church. And we are members of it. And each of us need to magnify our calling. And if we do, we will find us working in harmony with one another. And the cause of this kingdom will be established. And isn't that what this work is about, brothers and sisters? Establishing the cause of this kingdom. That kingdom which was taken in Enoch's day, that we might prepare ourselves and have that condition where that Zion can even come back down and we will fall upon one another's necks. What a glorious reunion that will be. But brothers and sisters, it's up to us. It's up to the choices we make in our lives. It's up to us the choices we make in this church. Brothers and sisters, have a great love for you. And I know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loves you too. And no matter what you've done in your life, save it be deny the Holy Ghost, you have that opportunity to repent. And He will open you, welcome you back with open arms. I know this. He's done it in my life. And I know He's done it in your life too. Brothers and sisters, it's been good to worship with you this day. I'll continue to pray for you. You continue to pray for me. That we might hold each other up. That one day that we all might walk arm in arm as we see the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Father in heaven, we praise thy holy name and we thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts, for challenging us. We thank you for the words of life and the hope of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for touching the hearts of each one and the response to seek after Thee. Lord, we know that it is your desire that all those that you have created would come unto Thee. And you seek after them with much patience and mercy. We pray, Lord, that you would give us patience and that our faith would grow and that we would know that you will continue to work with those that have yet to respond. Lord, help us to seek earnestly the best gifts. And above all, help us, Lord, to seek thy kingdom, and that it may become a reality. We know that it will. Lord, go before us. Help us to be sensitive to the directing of thy Spirit, and that we may be a blessing to those around us. And we seek this and ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.